Now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Last week, we reported on a series of studies published by the Urban Institute, which found that African-American men are struggling far more than commonly cited employment and education statistics would suggest. And that comes despite the gains experienced by black women and other groups during the recent economic boom. Today, we talk with Harvard sociologist Orlando Patterson, who says that decades of looking at the problem from a socioeconomic perspective and applying socioeconomic solutions have failed. In an op-ed which appeared in Sunday's New York Times, he suggests that we defy long-held academic dogma, as he puts it, and start exploring a group's cultural attributes to find the solution. How do you explain why young black men are falling behind, especially compared to black women and immigrants? Is it the economy or attitudes? Join the conversation. Call us at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Orlando Patterson is the author of Rituals of Blood, Consequences of Slavery in Two American Centuries. He joins us now from the studios at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Professor Patterson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, during Bill Clinton's first campaign for president, the phrase that got everybody's attention was, "It's the economy, stupid." So in essence, are you saying, where young black men are concerned, it's not the economy, it's the culture, stupid?
Something like that, although I don't want to make it a too either-or position. The economy is obviously important and always will be. But the interesting thing about the Clinton years is that he did exactly what all the policy gurus said should be done to help black youth, and that is to grow the economy, to provide a lot of jobs at all levels. And that he certainly did. In fact, it began even before him. And the problem is that the jobs were there, but they weren't taken up by the black youth. And there are several studies which indicate or try to explain that disappointing situation. Black women, in the meantime, partly under the stimulus of the Welfare Reform Act, did very well, or relatively much better than they were doing, and continued to do so. So you had not only the disappointment of these young men not taking advantage of the opportunity. The opportunity, by the way, was taken advantage of by immigrants mainly. But you also had a related problem of a growing gender gap among low-class black people.
Professor, what do you think we could learn from looking at these cultural attributes or values or attitudes that we have not learned by looking at the socioeconomic issues?
Well, you know, there have been studies, a few, which are quite good. People like John L. Dance and Ferguson and Mary Petula and so on. There are a few good studies out there, and we try to get behind the stereotypes, try to see how these young men view their world and why it is that they have the problems that they do in school, and as well as the problems that they do in jobs. And what clearly is coming out is that there are some fundamental set of attitudes, notions of masculinity, and the sort of the tough pose, the cool pose, the street culture, which powerfully acts as an alternate to education, so that the slightest sort of failure in school and so on, they simply shift gear, so to speak, and turn to this culture. And the question is, you know, this is true of other groups too. Let me make that clear. Latinos, also whites in Appalachia and in many Midwestern towns. But why it is that, as my colleague here, Prudence Carter, who also works in this problem, asked, why is it that they can't switch codes the way in which other groups can? That is to say, for them, it's either education, or they said, well, enough of that, it's a street culture, or it can't be both. And that's a difficult problem, because when I was growing up in Jamaica, I had to switch codes to an even greater degree. I grew up with Creole and different sort of set of attitudes and so on. When you went to school, this is just the King's English and a whole different set of attitudes. But you switched, and I had no problem going to school and going back home, where sort of switch language codes, switch attitudes and so on. And that's true of many other groups. So why it is that black youth have this problem where it's either or, and why is it that the snare of the street culture is so great? And once they get into it, it seems impossible to get out because it carries over in their attitude towards jobs. And as I said, the failure to take advantage of the opportunities which were there in the 90s and which may never come again. And the important thing to note about it is that, of course, these jobs didn't pay a great deal, but they offer the opportunity to get some work experience which can be transferred later on to better jobs. And other immigrants did it, and other ethnic groups, Latinas did it, blacks didn't. And the problem is why, and this is what we need to get at.
Briefly, this is such a rich topic, and it's so hard to talk about this in a brief bit of time. But how do you really separate out the culture from economic circumstance? I mean, for example, I'm thinking about Memorial Day is coming up, and that started as Decoration Day, which started in the Confederacy, which had a culture of death. I mean, there was so much death that was being experienced that they, you know, in that area, it began to be very interested in sort of acknowledging death. And so there came the custom of decorating the cemeteries, and that kind of became
right.
Its own celebration, as you know. So that's a situation where, you know, objective circumstances creates a cultural phenomenon. So how do you really separate out the two?
Yeah, modern cultural analysis doesn't try to separate out the two. That used to be done in the old days in which people spoke of culture and then they spoke of, the economy and so on. The two interact, and the culture becomes in many ways a resource which people use for dealing with the economy or with other social obstacles. So you can see this with African American youth, where they use their culture to some extent as a way of relating to the school environment. The trouble is that so often, what happens is that they find that they feel obliged to make a choice between the two rather than using the culture as a way of getting around and resolving the difficulties as other people do.
Professor Patterson, I so hate to interrupt, but this is such an important topic. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again about possible solutions. Professor Patterson's op-ed, all the previous stories in this series are linked at the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Professor.
My pleasure.
Orlando Patterson is professor of sociology at Harvard University